Are you thinking about starting a business? Does your business need a loan or investors? Are you ready to grow and succeed? Then you need to call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. at 470-238-9097 for more information or to schedule your free business consultation.
Good morning. Welcome to today's show, Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm that provides business plan creation and review, marketing plans, marketing implementation, process automation, accounting services, and now business technology strategy consulting and implementation services. Today, we are honored to have Sterling Rose Consulting Corp team member and co-host of Strategic Insights Radio, David Wilkins. David comes to Sterling Rose Consulting Corp from a long and distinguished business and entrepreneurial career, working with companies such as IBM, EY, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and USAA. David's guest today is Toby Ponce, Senior International Trade Manager of the Georgia Department of Economic Development International Trade Division. With more than 10 years international trade experience as an exporter, 10 years experience as an international business transactions paralegal, and 9 years experience with the Georgia Department of Economic Development. Toby Ponce has a wide variety of experience in the international trade arena to help her understand and work with Georgia companies in the exporting market. Toby's international trade experience includes positions as export manager at Zep Manufacturing, a specialty chemical manufacturer, and as director of international operations for Shop and Check, a company in the mystery shopping branch of market research. As part of the Georgia Department of Economic Development's international trade team, Toby helps Georgia companies expand and grow by marketing products or services overseas. She works with companies in the Metro Atlanta and Athens regions, as well as with companies in the aerospace, defense, and security sectors throughout the state. Toby was an integral part of the state's efforts that netted Georgia federal state trade and export promotion grants for 2012 and 2013. To help small businesses in the state expand their products and services internationally, and was the STEP program director in Georgia. Dave, take it away.
Thank you, Trey, and thank you, Toby, for joining us today.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Great. Now, let's get started and tell us more about the Georgia Department of Economic Development. What's it responsible for and all that good stuff?
The Georgia Department of Economic Development, and I'll just refer to it as GDEC, it's a lot faster, is basically the sales and marketing arm of the state of Georgia. We are all about bringing jobs to Georgia, helping Georgia companies to grow and expand, attracting new business development and investment, aligning workforce education and training with in-demand jobs. In other words, getting people trained and working, locating new markets for Georgia products, attracting tourists to Georgia, and promoting the state as a destination for arts and location for film, music, and digital entertainment projects. We have been successful in doing many of these things, as shown by the fact that Georgia was named the number one state in the nation in which to do business by Site Selection magazine for the fourth year in a row and by Area Development magazine. We're very proud of these recognitions, but we're even more proud of our state and of the department.
So obviously, you're very important to the state in terms of helping the state grow and become an economic engine for the whole country.
We're kind of, we're a resource. Obviously, it's up to Georgia companies and to people who come to Georgia or live in Georgia, they're the ones that are doing truly the heavy lifting. But what we can do is try to help create the conditions for them to be successful, to bring new business investment to Georgia, be it from other states or other countries, to bring tourists to see what Georgia has to offer, to help existing Georgia companies find new international markets or partners so they can grow their products and their sales overseas. There are just so many different areas of economic development, and our department kind of spearheads the state's resources to help companies.
Okay. You know, just following up on that, you know, think about it as some of the listeners, you know, thinking, so how can the department help my company?
There are many different ways in which companies can make use of and access our resources. I really recommend that companies go to www.georgia.org, and Georgia is spelled out. You can click then on the different divisions, whether it's entrepreneurship and small business, existing industry and retention, our fantastic centers of innovation, and find out more information about each one of these different divisions, as well as the different resources that are available and can be accessed by small businesses and by companies in Georgia. We really focus on trying to help companies have conditions conducive to growth, help create conditions that will attract new business investment to Georgia, bringing tourists to Georgia, helping having a trained and talented workforce that meets the needs of companies in Georgia. It's all about growing.
Great. Now, in your particular area in the department, which is the international, can you describe a little bit more about what goes on there?
Absolutely. My personal prejudice is that we have the most fun division, and that's because I love what I do so much. We're working with Georgia companies to help them grow their international sales and markets. The majority of the companies that we work with are small businesses, and of those companies, the majority have fewer than 20 employees. So when I say small business, I truly do mean small business, because they're the ones that most need the state's resources. The state has international representative offices in 11 markets around the world. These are all independent, locally based companies, many of them consulting companies, who are contracted to represent the state for a variety of, can be a variety of economic development avenues. Some of them just do foreign direct investment, bringing foreign companies to Georgia. Some of them do foreign direct investment and trade. Some of them also may do tourism, bringing foreign tourists to Georgia. Our representative offices in the Americas are located in Canada, Mexico, Chile, Colombia, and Brazil. We have our European rep, who's based in Germany, and our UK rep. We have a rep in Israel, and we have a rep in South Korea, one in China, and one in Japan. So working with these reps, for example, we can, working with the Georgia company, find out what are their criteria for having an international distributor or manufacturer's rep. Our offices will actually contact companies in their countries, speak with them, find out whether there's an interest in hearing from the Georgia company, prepare a report, which we provide to the Georgia company, and then we can help facilitate at least initial communications. And this is an important time to mention that all of our services are taxpayer funded. Georgia companies do not pay any fees to use the services of our department. The only time that a fee is involved is when we do international trade shows and missions. And I'll mention that in a moment as one of the other services that we have. And then there's a relatively small cost recovery fee to participate in one of these outbound events. But other than that, all of this is your tax dollars at work. Other services that we can provide include due diligence reports. Let's say you're contacted by an international company, perhaps as a customer, perhaps as a potential partner. We can run that company information through the various private databases to which we subscribe to see what kind of information we can find on the company. Does it seem to be legitimate? Sometimes we can provide financial information. Sometimes we can get actual credit reports. Depends on where the company is located in what country and what database we have to use. And we provide those reports free of charge to companies. So that helps give a sense of a peace of mind to companies that are considering a totally unknown potential new international distributor or representative or customer. In addition, we can do export-import statistical research. Perhaps a company has been reactive, has had some international hits on their website. Maybe they've made an export sale or two, but they don't really know what might be the best markets for their products or services. We can do statistical research to see, for example, for products, what countries are the biggest importers of that product and where that product coming from. We can see from the United States, where are that same kind of products going to? And this way we can work with the company to help narrow down, start off with a few markets to see that might have the most potential. In addition, as I'd mentioned before, we do a select number of international trade shows and trade missions around the world. The state buys a booth at an important trade show in a particular industry, and we then offer to co-exhibit with a small number of Georgia companies. For example, I've been recruiting for a trade show to be held in Rio de Janeiro in April. It's in the defense and security sector. Georgia companies, we've bought the booth. Georgia companies will be able to co-exhibit with us. And then I'll also be having a catalog exhibition with company marketing materials for those companies that couldn't come. We did a trade show in the defense and aerospace sector in Paris last June, had six Georgia companies that came with us, co-exhibited, paid a small fee. Companies do have to pay their own travel expenses. And already some of the companies that participated have gotten deals or sales through those events. I have colleagues, we have four other trade managers like me who work with companies in different sectors. So I have colleagues who've taken Georgia companies to trade shows in the medical sector, in Dubai and in Germany. Other colleagues in the agricultural sector have had trade shows in Canada and Mexico. And so this just helps small companies who couldn't afford to pay $30,000, $40,000 plus for a booth at an important trade show in their industry, have a presence at a show, be there, be visible, and quite often when it's a market where the state has a rep, our rep is also setting up pre-qualified matchmaking appointments for the companies that's included in the fee that they've paid. So it's just, we just try to provide as much added value as possible. In addition, I'd like to mention that we are part of what's called the U.S. Export Assistance Center. These are entities composed of a variety of trade promotion agencies such as ours. It also includes the U.S. Commercial Service, which is an agency of the U.S. Department of Commerce, the federal government. We work with the International Trade Center of UGA's Small Business Development Center, an international trade team of experienced ex-international business people who work on both importing and exporting matters. We have a representative from the Export-Import Bank of the United States that has some great products for small businesses, including export credit insurance, and we all work together very closely. Other states have what are called USEACs, U.S. Export Assistance Center, but we are kind of held up as a shining example of how, in an ideal world, the different entities that belong should work together, because here in Georgia, we actually do work together as we should. If Georgia does not have the services in a country that a company needs, we'll refer them to the U.S. Commercial Service that has commercial service officers in over 80 countries around the world located in U.S. embassies and consulates. If a company needs help with some importing matters, we can refer them to UGA's SBDC group. So it's all about seeing what does a company need, which one of the entities will be able to best fulfill those needs, and then referring them, working together as a group to provide the best possible services to our Georgia companies.
Wow. That is amazing. I mean, basically, it says, if I'm a Georgia-based business, if I'm not working with this group to grow, I'm missing out on a great opportunity that's basically costing me nothing or very little unless it's, you know, again, the trade. But also just thinking about it from because a lot of our listeners are outside of Georgia, that, you know, if your state doesn't have it, this is really the state to be doing your business in.
Also, I will say that many states do have trade promotion agencies. If you go on the website for the State International Department Organization, CIDO, there's a map and you can click on the state to find out if your state has international trade promotion agencies, and there will be contact information. Because again, all of our services are just for Georgia-based companies. Obviously,
right.
This is Georgia tax dollars at work supporting Georgia companies. But yes, many states do. But like I said, we have actually, our department has won the President's E-Star Award for exporting services twice in 2007 and 2014. We are the only state or entity to have ever done so in its, I believe, 70-year history.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask later on about working with other states, how how your department works with them, and particularly if there's great, big deals that could possibly be worked jointly?
In the realm of economic development, I would say that there are more competitors than working together, to be honest, and in trade, because each governmental agency is focused, obviously, on, since it's taxpayer dollar funded, those taxpayer dollars have to be used for local companies or individuals. But I think that because, for example, with regard to export trade promotion, since we all support that, we work together in the sense of being aware of issues that could affect exporting or exporters in general, having a common voice in that regard. But other than that, it's not, we're not really working together. Occasionally now I will get calls from somebody in another state. Somehow or other, they found out about our organization, about our services. I've actually gone online and been able to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you since you're not based in Georgia. But in your state, here's the contact information to help.
Okay, good, good. I do want to take just a second here and explain how, kind of like in the interest of full disclosure, as it were, how we came to know each other. And that was through, I know you had a meeting at a function with Jennifer Roos, who was the co-founder of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, and also one of the co-hosts. But that turned out to be a very interesting meeting where you were learning more about Sterling Rose and our international business operations, as well as we learning more about the Georgia Department of Economic Development International Division, which led to our meeting where you wanted to learn more about our business, strategic business technology consulting, and how we were looking to expand that services overseas. Which turned out to be a very good meeting, because you ended up asking a lot of questions, learning about more about our business and finding out where we wanted to target our services to get started. And then did an amazing job of providing us all with a lot of good information, a lot of good contacts to get started. So a personal testimonial to the effectiveness, the timeliness, and the amazing amount of information that your group can provide.
Thank you.
I think that one of the question that I'd like to really get into is, you talked a lot about all of the various capabilities and services, but thinking about it more from a business that says, I've got this product, and this product's been, doing pretty well, but I'm thinking about seeing how I can expand my market overseas. So take me through that process of the widget I want to sell someplace in outside the United States.
Sure. When it comes to companies that have had little or limited exporting experience, generally we'll call in our partners at the UGA Small Business Development Center, their international trade team. Being associated with UGA, they have more of an educational one-on-one training mandate than we do. And we can work together with the resources that we have and with the mandate that they have to be able to help a company start to explore potential international markets, become aware of what's going to be required, international shipping and freight, your first international pro forma invoice, what are going to be that country's import or potential import tariffs on your products. Is that going to price it out of the market, or are there great opportunities? Maybe the United States has a free trade agreement with a country like we have with, for example, obviously NAFTA with Mexico and Canada, or we have also free trade agreements with Chile and with Colombia. And in those, under those agreements, many, if not most, U.S. products have no import duties, therefore helping them be competitively priced in the local market. So we work with our partners, depending on what the particular company's needs are, depending on where they are at in the exporting process, to figure out, are they a little more sophisticated? Are they a little more experienced or not? Because we want to try to help as much as we can to ensure that it's going to be a positive experience, that they're going to be protected. There's going to be risk mitigation. What about payment? Always a very important question, obviously. Mm-hmm. And most companies will say, at least starting out initially, we always get payment up front. That's required. And that's fine initially, but then we can say down the road, As you may or may not know, credit is really difficult and expensive to get outside of the United States. It's hard enough here, but in other countries, and for many, many years, even for well-established, reputable companies, it can be virtually impossible to get or have percentage rates like 35 or 55% pay on a loan. And therefore, companies will often ask for terms. Now, obviously, a U.S. exporter is a bit loath to offer terms, particularly if they don't know the company that well, but even if they do. And so then we can talk about something like export credit insurance offered by the Ex-Exim Bank of the United States for products that have at least a 51% U.S. content. Because for a very small fee that can range from 0.5% to 3% of the invoice dollar value, you can guarantee your accounts receivable. So this is not a physical insurance. It's guaranteeing a box or a widget or a thing. It's guaranteeing payment of your invoice, presuming, of course, you follow the terms of your sales agreement. And this also allows you to offer terms. If something happens and the company doesn't pay, you file a claim with Ex-Im. And as I tell people, unlike, let's say, your standard U.S. bank, whose goal is keeping your money and growing its money.
Right.
Ex-Im's main mandate was to level the playing field for U.S. exporters. So obviously they're going to want to make sure that this was that you complied with all the terms of your agreement. This was a valid transaction, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you get your money back. And I have many clients who everything that ships out outside of the United States is covered by an export credit insurance policy again. And what they do is they just build the price into the pricing of the product since it is such a small price. So we're looking at this. We're looking at a company's website. The U.S. Commercial Service has a wonderful service now with regard to website globalization. If somebody in another country is looking for your product, they may be looking at it for a widget, or they may be looking at for what a widget is called in their country's language. So therefore, we can take a look and see, for example, are you registered in local countries' site location engines, search engines?
Mm-hmm.
South Korea has a unique search engine. I didn't know that. And you have to be registered in that search engine if South Korea is a market is of interest to you. How high does your website come up if people are searching? And there are this lot of different languages. Yes, people will say, they can just click on Google Translate. I just have some really funny stories. What happens when you use some of those automatic translation services? So that can be, you have to be careful about that. But there are just lots of things that companies, particularly the ones that are rather new to exporting, may not be thinking about. And these are just some of the kinds of things. They can't solve everything all at once, but just to kind of make them aware of different aspects to exporting. Because the bottom line is, while exporting is not brain surgery, it also is not shipping to Connecticut or Alabama. There are differences, and you do have to have a commitment and a dedication to doing it right. Just think, if somebody in another country wanted one of your products, they would want to have confidence in you that you were going to be doing everything that you were supposed to do. And obviously, that's a two-way street. So you do have to try to do things the right way for your protection, but also in order to help grow your business, not just have a one-time sale.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you hear about the issues of the cultural differences. You obviously mentioned the translation and so forth, but culture is an important aspect in international sales as well.
Absolutely. And that's, some of the things that both can make it trickier and yet make it a lot more fun and more human too. And it is important to be aware of these differences. We actually, one of the databases that we subscribe to actually has whole sections in books that go into negotiating styles in a particular country. Women in business can be very different approaches about how one as a woman has to handle oneself depending on the culture. Gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give white roses if white signifies death in that culture.
That'd be a faux pas.
Yeah, you don't want to give 13 roses again if that's a bad, unlucky number,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera. Or just simple things like, do people tend to, how close do they stand to you? Now, how are they going to be negotiating? What is the hierarchy? Is there a hierarchy? Is it every man for himself, or is it everybody's going to look to the older person there or the one with the highest job title? All of these subtle differences, they may not make much of a difference if you just have a hit on your website and you take care of a transaction that way. But when you actually start to do business and get to know people and companies, some of these things, again, to me, it's a spice of life. It's part of why I love the job, because that's what makes everything more interesting to me. it's an endless learning procedure and opportunity.
How do you work with international companies that are looking for a Georgia-based partner?
Well, again, you know, we're focused on helping Georgia companies export their products and services. Mm-hmm. So, part of that could be like an FDI question. But also, we are paying for an online Georgia Export Directory. It can be found at georgiaexportdirectory.com, in which we are paying so that Georgia companies with products and services that they wish to export can have a free listing in up to 5 product or service categories. You can go on that website, click on register, and again, in up to 5 product or service categories, register your company. And then we promote the existence of this online Georgia Export Directory around the world through our offices and at our events to try to encourage foreign companies and individuals sourcing products or services to come to Georgia to do the sourcing. So that's something that we do. But also sometimes our offices get leads. Individuals contact them, sometimes through our office's outreach efforts, and they're looking to source particular products or services in Georgia. We just had a situation like that through our Colombia office. They have done an outreach in the defense sector. A gentleman contacted them who has been in the security sector but wanted to expand his product offerings. Long story short, he came to Georgia. He met with 3 of the companies that have been working with. He has signed distributorship agreements with 2 of them. He may be traveling with one of them now to the show that I'm doing in Brazil. And this was through our office there. And quite often, our offices may get leads of, sometimes it's for governmental bid tenders, and other times it's just individuals looking for particular products. So we call them trade opportunity alerts. So that is something that we do. With regard to foreign companies looking for partners, to be honest, that's not so much something that we get into, but sometimes, depending on the individual opportunity, we see within our department which division might best handle that, because mm-hmm. it could be a good opportunity for the right company.
Well, I think your example that you use, the Colombian defense business, you know, certainly that fit. That's a good example. You know, the other thing too that you hear a lot about, at least in the media, is how difficult U.S. businesses have in terms of competing overseas with products and services, you know, based upon whatever the value of the dollar is and so forth. How do you help break through that? How accurate is that? And then how do you work with the companies to deal with it?
Well, obviously, there's nothing we can do with regard to the strong dollar. You know, that those macroeconomic conditions are beyond anybody's ability to assist. But when companies have innovative products or innovative technologies, it's been my experience that people will pay. When you have strong competitive advantages in your industry, you know, your sales may slow down a little bit, but to be honest, these companies keep growing because people are seeking quality. In some markets, going back to Colombia for a moment, in the defense sector, since I, you know, specifically work with companies, aerospace, mm-hmm. defense, and security, they were, the Colombian armed forces, we were told by some Colombian military suppliers, had been using Chinese or Brazilian products. And when we were there in 2014, I took a trade mission to Bogota. We had a gentleman tell us that just the week before, a Brazilian IED had exploded in the hands of a Colombian officer, killing him because it was a defective IED. Mm. And that these products had come into the market and had become very popular because of their less expensive cost than American products, but that the tide was turning. And now they were being asked specifically for U.S. products. They wanted made in USA. And even just if it was being shipped from the U.S., that wasn't enough. They wanted to make sure that it was a U.S.-made product, not a Chinese product that was being shipped from the U.S. And so the U.S. is known for quality products. In addition, we're known for innovation. And I work with, you know, companies that people have probably never heard of with the most, you know, with unique, innovative gadgets, products, you know, in advanced manufacturing, whatever it is, that do not have direct competition. Or the company, because it's small, is more flexible, more adaptable. It can customize its products. The gigantic competitor has basically a 1 or 2 size fits all. Mm-hmm. And so companies that can find what their competitive advantages are and that have them generally, despite the strong dollar, are still going to be successful. The difficulty is if a company has basically a kind of, I'll say a generic product or service, something, and doesn't have competitive advantages, doesn't have something that can set them apart from the competition or set them apart from similar products or services that are found or made in that local country.
So, you know, really, the bottom line is that if you really do have a good product, good quality, good service, and know that you can compete, because if you can compete in the United States and you probably compete elsewhere, you shouldn't let some of the media exposure that comes out about trade and the negative context of it really be a hindrance. You should really be looking to promote it. And certainly through your, you know, Georgia Department of Economics and the International Division, that's a great way to do it, because I'm just thinking about how much money you could save, you know, what the value of your services are and how much you'd be paying otherwise to have the same services provided.
Absolutely. And we have to remember 96% of the world's consumers are located outside of the United States. That's a pretty huge market to be ignoring. And something that we saw in our division during the global recession was that companies that had done little or no exporting were desperately turning to exporting because the U.S. market had dried up. In the military and defense sector, of course, with the sequester and with the governmental budgets being cut, some of these companies were starting to respond to the international leads that they'd been getting but hadn't been responding to because they didn't need it. They were, you know, taken care of with the Department of Defense and with other U.S. opportunities. And I had companies say if it hadn't been for exporting, our company would have gone under. So I strongly believe, on a practical sense, you know, you should never want to put all your eggs in one basket. And the world is such a large basket. You know, when we were going through our recession here, Latin America was growing at all of the countries, even in Central America, Guatemala, Honduras, they had stronger and GDP growth rates than we did. So, you know, it's just amazing. You know, you wouldn't necessarily think about it, but expanding out into that world can be scary. But that's why you have partners and resources available at the state, federal, and local levels to help you navigate those new waters that can help make your company stronger. Because companies that export are stronger, they tend to survive for a longer period of time, they tend to pay their employees more. Diversification is always an added value for companies, whether it's markets or products.
Well, that's great. So bottom line is there is absolutely no reason for any small business or any business of any size in Georgia to not take advantage and look forward to working with the GDEC and the International Division to grow and look and really explore those opportunities offshore. Do you have any upcoming events that our listeners might be interested in attending?
Yes, I do. I'd like to mention a variety of different events that we've got coming up. The next one will be February 22nd at the Georgia Tech Research Institute in Atlanta, and it's the second annual Georgia Innovation Summit. This is being sponsored by the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection in partnership with our department's Entrepreneurship and Small Business Team and the Center of Innovation. And I think that this sounds to me, honestly, to be like a really exciting event and certainly one that could benefit small companies, because it's going to feature dynamic presentations by leaders from the corporate world, small business and entrepreneurs, innovation organizations, universities, and government on how innovation fuels Georgia's growing economy. And I think that that's something that's of interest to all of us, because innovation is part of what I was talking about being a company's competitive advantage. In addition, on March 14th, our division is sponsoring the Go Global reception. Once a year, all of our international representatives come from around the world to Georgia, to Atlanta. And our Go Global reception will be held at the Atlanta History Center, and it's the one time where you can come and meet the different reps from around the world. You can go to the website, georgia.org/goglobal, to register. And it's a lovely event. We generally have 350 to 400 people. It's just a very lovely international event. With regard to some industry events coming up, the Center of Innovation in Aerospace is going to be having its SOAR, which is a supplier, aviation supplier event in Macon, April 19th through 20th. You can find out more at the Center of Innovation for Aerospace website that you can access through our georgia.org website. And lastly, May 16th through 17th, the Logistics Summit, sponsored by our Center of Innovation for Logistics. It's going to be held at the Georgia World Congress Center. And this is a fantastic event. We've had 17 to 1800 attendees at the last one. And we have attendees that actually come from all over the world. So go on our website, check out the division of interest to you, and then you can look at their calendar of events to see what might most make the most sense for you to attend.
Well, that's amazing. That's great. It's super. The amount of information you provided today is just, it's just a wealth. You know, it's certainly going to help. I can't believe that there can't be a lot of companies out there who now learn. If you've got just a couple of quick examples, and then, that'd be great.
Just a couple of quick examples, just to show you how a variety of our resources can help. I have a company that has a dedicated international salesperson for Latin America. I gave her a bunch of database leads. These are companies that earned some of the databases that we subscribe to because she was focusing on growing the market in Mexico. Long story short, she wound up getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales from some of the leads that were provided from the databases. And the last one is a company that went with me in 2010 to a trade show in Monterrey, Mexico. I had been trying to crack that market for a long time. They met a gentleman there who, long story short, they have wound up hiring several years later after he already grew their business in Mexico by over 200% and is now taking them around the world. So participating in our events and making uses of our resources can help you grow.
Super. Well, thank you, Toby, very much for being on the show. And just real quick to, again, summarize how people can get a hold of you and the website.
Sure. The website, again, is www.georgia.org, and Georgia is spelled out. And you can reach me by email at tponce, that's T-P-O-N-C-E, at georgia.org.
Super.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. And thank you, David, and thank you, Toby. This was Strategic Insights Radio discussing the Georgia Department of Economic Development International Trade Division and how it can benefit companies looking to build foreign trade. For more information about Toby Ponce, David Wilkins, Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. at 470-202-8659 or visit www.sterlingrosconsultingcorp.com.